The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening in the Toronto GTA area of Southern Ontario, Canada, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, and we mean anywhere, dial 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me, Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. As a fellow gardener, and even more so as a landscape designer, I think it is important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance, inside and out. We're going to talk about some inside gardening today. I do my best each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics and guests that can help us with our yards and gardens. And there is certainly no shortage of topics at all, especially that we're talking about indoor gardening. So tonight, joining me tonight as co-host once again is Matthew Dressing. He's a landscape industry certified retail horticulturalist with a designation from the CNLA. Matt is an active member of certification committee both provincially and nationally. And in addition to working in the industry over the past 16 years, working in lawn maintenance, garden maintenance at Cullen Gardens, landscape construction, and most recently, 9 years in various garden centers, helping others with their gardens. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you, Joanne. Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. And I'm looking forward to talking about our interesting topic for indoor plants, since it's too cold outside to talk about outdoor plants, right?
That's right.
So I've promoted quite a bit about this week about houseplants. And I think we all have, you know, have either if we don't have houseplants in our house now, we grew up, I'm sure you have memories like I do, of my mother, my grandmother growing certain plants. And so in 2017, it's still a really big sector of the market, isn't it?
It's a huge sector. And just from the garden center industry standpoint, we're seeing unsubstantiated growth all across North America. Everyone's houseplant sales are up. It's just a hot, hot trend right now.
Excellent. That is great. So I thought, even though it's a radio show, let's talk about houseplants and some visual things. So the newest craze, as far as plants go, I think it's a kind of a plant combination with a decor combination, are terrariums.
Yes.
And with lots of traditional and new funky containers on the market, you can go all out to personalize your terrariums for your plants or your decor. And there's some really neat ideas. Certainly lots of ideas online. Again, that's more visual. We're going to just talk about the how-tos and some suggestions of do's and don'ts. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. What do you think, Matt?
I think it's an exciting topic. And really, like you said, the sky is the limit as far as what container and where you can put them. Vinegar jars, mason jars, light bulbs, anything, any old little glass jar type thing you have kicking around can act as a terrarium.
Oh, that's so cool. Light bulbs, I can't imagine. Yeah. But I've seen some of those. And yeah, so I thought we'll go right to the history. How's this for something? Even though it's kind of a funky and modern thing right now, I thought I looked up some history and it was really quite interesting. So the invention of terrariums is credited to English botanist Dr. Nathaniel Ward. He observed tiny ferns and grasses growing in a bit of soil, completely closed bottle, while he was watching a moth chrysalis. Right? So he wasn't starting out with the plants. He was looking at this chrysalis growing of this moth. And so he was observing how these, even though it was lit, the lid was closed and these plants were doing well and with no watering. So I thought that was really interesting. And as a typical scientist, he watched the plants grow in the bottle for 4 years while he never opened it to add water. Dr. Ward experimented with growing different types of plants in glass containers. And so this tells you how far back I'm talking. He published a book in 1842. So, yeah, entitled On the Growth of Plants in Closely Glazed Cases. So large glass cases for growing delicate plants became known as Wardian cases, and that's still what they're called today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google them, you'll see that's, you know, those cases that you see, they've kind of got metal trim on them often. Some are big, some kind of look like a church almost, like a little miniature church.
Yep.
Some are more just rectangular with a lid. Some ornate, some not so ornate. So those are the same, you know, from history, the Wardian cases. So I thought that was really interesting. And it became very fashionable and kind of elitism, because I think back in the day when you were bringing plants or collecting plants that you from the other world, only the wealthy did that. So it was kind of an esteem thing with their plants. And but it was also very practical because it was the only safe way to transport these plants via safely. So when people moved around by ship,
right?
You know, there was no cardboard boxes
or refrigeration.
That's right. Anything like that. That's right. So so I thought that was a little bit of history to kick off the show. And I think because those boxes, when I think of a terrarium, my mind goes to those.
Yes.
Right off the bat.
Yes.
But as far as the first step is picking a container, right?
Picking a suitable container, right.
And there's lots of choices.
So many choices. And the container you choose is going to lead into what plants you're going to actually be able to create or grow in that terrarium.
Right.
Create.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and really, I think it's kind of, you know, you can do the traditional for sure. You can go to like a fish tank. Something like that, or even the fish bowl, you know, the rounded fish bowls, like deep bowls like that. You can do something mini, like in a brandy snifter.
Yeah.
If you want to have something sitting on your desk, let's say, and you don't want to go all out and be a big commitment, you can do something like that. If you see lots of times, even at Value Village or, dollar store, you know, you can see different containers in here, you know, are really interestingly shaped. Those are great ways to something to think about. Not all of them can have lids, so you have a choice, too. I think that determines you can go with ones that have a lid,
right,
or ones that don't. I saw some fun pictures online while I was researching for the show. A gumball, if you've got one of those old gumball machines.
That one's so neat.
I know, and that's something different.
Very different.
If you don't want the gumballs, you know, that's something, and you don't want to part with it, that might be another use. Another one I saw was how many people have the coffee maker has stopped working and you don't know what to do with that glass coffee pot or glass teapot, see through. So that's another neat one I saw as well. So there's you can have a lot of fun with it and really tie it in with your decor. And it really is low maintenance. So I think that we talk about that a lot on the show, right? My big theme is, on here on Down the Garden Path is low maintenance.
Yep.
And people don't want high maintenance things. They don't want to be babying it. They don't want to have to do that type of thing with their outdoor plants. So I know they certainly don't want to do it indoor. That's right. That's right. So what else? Any other things that people should consider with the container?
Well, when you choosing your container, whether if you have a lid or not having a lid, that's going to tell you the type of plants. So think about the kind of plants that you want to grow. If you're thinking you really like cacti and succulents, which is another huge hot trend going on right now.
Yeah.
Again, playing to that low maintenance, something exotic, different.
Yeah, you barely have to water them.
Oh, weeks at a time. Yeah. That's going to need something with an open lid. So if you have something fancy or fun with an open lid, you're probably going to lean more towards your succulents, your cactuses, things like that.
Yeah.
If you have a closed Wardian case, you're going to have more tropical foliage plants, pothoses and Diefenbachias and ficuses and things like that. And that's going to give you the ability to trap that water and go for those months and months without having to water.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do the, so some of the reading I was doing, you know, have the open container and then cover it with like plastic wrap or plexi.
Yeah.
And that's not my thing. I don't know. You know, that's, then it's kind of defeats the purpose of it being a decorative item.
Right.
Don't
you
think?
Lose that decor, that unique aspect of the container.
Yeah, for sure. Now light, we're going to cover that too, but also, so in addition to the plants you want to grow, the container you use, and then the light. So you might want cacti.
Correct.
And an open container, but you have not a very sunny spot.
Right.
So,
yeah. And yeah, exactly. Terrariums are still subject to that light requirement like every other house plant or garden plant. They still need that certain amount of light to keep them vigorous and growing, prevent any pests and disease from setting in. So yeah, if you're going to pick something that's succulents, you definitely want something that medium to high bright indirect light.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so how much sun would a cactus, you know, in a terrarium, like in an open fishbowl, would it need to be in a really sunny window or is...
Right. So this kind of goes to the terrariums and houseplants in generals or in general. They don't need direct sunlight. And actually most houseplants are grown under shade cloths or in some sort of protection from the full sun.
Right.
So when
they can burn pretty easily.
Right. Plants can burn sunburn just like we can, especially just a very quick, you know, throw out into the sun. And a lot of people face that going into the summer, just in case any of you are thinking, oh, I'm going to move my houseplants out in the summer.
Right.
Watch that sunburn. But yeah, so a bright light, a bright indirect light is something that you can pretty much read by for a number of hours without straining your eyes. So you can always test that.
Oh, that's a good way of thinking.
Yeah. So the lower the light, the more strained or awkward it is going to be to read that book.
Okay.
So
it's not my bad eyesight that's, you know, need my glasses, right? But aside from that. Okay.
And so the lower light, there's the plants with the lower light. If it's harder to read that book, those plants in that lower light aren't going to do as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, a lot of them will survive there.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're not going to thrive and, you know, bring that awesome terrarium to life like you're going to want to.
Right.
Yeah. So pick a spot that's a bright indirect light. The best is if you have a south or a west, your bright or your best light is going to be there within 10 feet of a window or the light source.
Oh, 10 feet. So that's good. So it doesn't have to be right. Because the problem I find with the right up against the window is you're inevitably by a heat vent.
Yes, you've got heat vents or drafts, and they can stress the plants too, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't have any more room in that window. They have it so that you can look out it, or, you know, there's a couch there so they can enjoy the breeze in the summer. So window space, I find, too, is very limiting as well.
The couch is really there because it's opposite of the TV. So
yes.
That's really why.
We all have that massive
TV.
That's
right. That's right.
That's
right. That's right. So the window and the TV are never on the same wall, right?
Right.
They're opposite each other. So that's preventing the plants from being right in
the
window.
Issue.
That's the real issue.
Yeah. Let's not step around it.
For sure.
So yeah, so that 6 to 10 feet, that's going to give you the best bright indirect light.
Okay.
And then if you have a north or an east window, you're going to move into about 4 feet. Like in that window or 4 feet out is going to be your best bright indirect light.
Okay.
But, I mean, plants come in a varying, you know, wide variety of species and light requirements. So you can tailor your terrarium plants to your light levels as well.
Okay.
And you can cheat too.
How can you cheat?
You can use grow bulbs.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah. So you can, a lot of grow bulbs now come as that kind of standard fluorescent or incandescent, you know, that spirally light bulb.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I don't know the name.
Yeah. I think everybody understands that.
Everyone knows what that one is.
Even if you knew the name, I think everybody would still want to know the spirally shape.
That spirally one.
Okay.
Or you can even, if you have something special like a chandelier, for example.
Okay.
You know, they usually have that those smaller tear-shaped drops,
yeah,
light bulbs. Even something like that, as long as it has something like full spectrum, because our normal indoor house lights have emit white and yellow light.
Okay.
But plants eat the reds and the blues and the greens to photosynthesize and do their thing. So if you don't have any good windows, for example, you have a basement apartment or, you know, just a funny arrangement of your house. Yeah, if you change those light bulbs to emit that light, you still want it closer, as close to you know, aesthetically and safely as possible to that light source. But you can then, you know, expand your light into other parts of your house.
That is a really good idea, because I have, I guess my rooms kind of are east facing more than anything, but the house came with a lot of windows, but all the windows came with shutters.
Oh.
So, you know, and as much as I thought, oh, you'll all open them, I'll slide them open, I'll flip them open, like you never do. Like they are, you know, so it's not even like a curtain that you can pull back. They're pretty committed to being on there. So that is one thing I have to really be strategic on where I put my plants. Right. And I initially, for a while, they actually even gave up because I found that I just couldn't keep them. But I've gotten a bit better at it now, of finding the right spots and the right plants. A lot of it is the right plant. Well,
yes.
I talk about in the outdoor, right? The low maintenance is all about the right plant in the right spot. And it's no different as in the house. And I know it took me a little while to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we were talking about, you know, that trends a few weeks ago on the show. And it reminds me just the shutters and the things on your... There's a new little box that you put in your windows.
Okay.
And you can program it to, based on the sunlight or your exposure, to open and close all the blinds and shutters for you. So
that is interesting.
If you've got kind of funny windows way up high,
you
can find that and
That would work well in my house, because we're a very gadgety house. Our front door unlocks by Wi-Fi. Like when we walk, so it's really, as soon as our phone goes on Wi-Fi, our front door
Your
unlocks.
Front door unlocks.
Yeah, so we're kind of techie geeks at our house. So, how do you actually pronounce what you're talking about? Oh, okay, building a terrarium. So so we have a quick question here from someone on email. So. A terrarium spelled T. I'm going to look at how do I spell it. How did I spell it? I know it.
So it's T E R R A R I U M or terrariums with an S.
That's right. Yeah. So that's what they are. So they're containers. So basically, you're growing a plant or several plants in a container, usually glass, sometimes plastic, with a lid or without a lid. So it's a way to kind of, you almost have like a little ecosystem.
Yeah, that's exactly. Mm-hmm. You're building a tiny little picture of an ecosystem.
Right, yeah. Right. So what, in addition to choosing plants, what quantity of plants? Like, can you go all out or should you, you know, are we talking one or two plants? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that also kind of like a landscape design kind of comes down to the your overall aesthetics.
Mm.
Some people like them just chalked and packed full. Cactuses and succulents are good that way, nice and full. But you can spread it out. You don't need to have it full of plants, because you can have other, you know, stones and decorations in there.
Yeah.
If you get too tight with some foliage, you know, the plants start to sweat. You can get, without good air circulation in there, you can get some mold issues starting, especially if you overwater your terrarium.
Right.
To start to get that closed ecosystem. So, and the choice of the plants too, knowing your plants, they also will have certain growth rates.
Mm.
Some grow much slower than others. So if you pack them really, really full and then suddenly, you know, something, some vine you've picked because you like the look of the leaf just grows out of control, it'll kill all the other plants.
Right. It just takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little space is good for the plant health and other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if it's a closed container, you really don't have to water it often because the lid is closed. So then the plants create the humidity inside. So ferns, mosses.
Pothos, spider plants.
Oh, yeah. Spider plants would be great because you can kind of get the little tiny ones too.
Yep.
Right?
You get the little babies.
Yeah. The little babies.
Or a little Bonnie, who just a little curling mat of things.
Yeah. I think so too. I think it'd be nice to switch up a variety, you know, looking at, it's very much a foliage. Most of these are going to be really foliage plants, so not a lot of flowering.
Yeah.
So, you know, mixing something striped and variegated green and white like the spider plant with a fern that's kind of got, you know, that frilly bright green leaf to it. You know, and a pothos that's got a, you know, larger, you know, bell shape or heart shaped leaf.
Yep.
You know, so that I think is nice. So thinking about that, not only, so it's a, you have a bit to think about as far as the conditions, the type of plants, the type of container, and just making sure you have a nice mix.
Right.
And I think less is more too, you know, going with, especially if you're a beginner,
yes,
starting with three plants in your container.
That's a great start.
I think that's a great start.
Getting to know each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you can kind of see the conditions evolve in your own terrarium as well.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think if you have a really big container, that's when you can probably have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, you can add a few more plants or decorations, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're doing the cactus, right? So then you can probably cram a lot more into it. Because, you know, the cacti are much more slower growing.
Yes.
And the succulents, same thing.
Exactly.
What are your favorite succulents?
My favorite succulents, I'd have to say Schlumbergia, but
wow,
maybe not for, that's your Christmas or Thanksgiving cactus for those.
Okay. Is that what it is? The Latin name for the Christmas cactus.
Right.
So I didn't think you could do a Christmas cactus.
If you had a big enough one, I'm sure you could. Yes.
Now at home, I have a little Christmas cactus. Could I put that
you
in
could
a terrarium?
Probably put that in there to start, yeah. And
I
then eventually she's going to be one of those ones that are going to grow up and
okay,
you'd have to prune or take a little care of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Another one of my favorites is Living Stones, the Lithops, and it's an Arctic cactus native to South Africa.
Oh.
And it lives in the mountains and they look like little stones and pebbles.
Okay.
Yeah. So they, you foreground.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I could see that kind of sitting on a desk, like kind of like in a modern setting, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, wow, in a funky container.
Yep.
So they look like living.
Huh. You could make almost like a little beach scene.
Oh, okay.
Right, have some decorative pebbles, have some living stones, maybe the odd cactus or two to be a background or a mid-ground shrub or something like that. And
okay,
maybe, you know, a dry or a petrified starfish. So
Yeah. You could have fun with that.
Yeah.
A little Zen garden.
Yeah, you could do a little Zen garden. Have a little, like the stones in your Zen garden could be the living stones.
Okay. What Gary's doing there?
I don't know what they, I think they said thank you. It was written in
okay,
the header.
Yeah.
That's what it is, I think. That person thanked you for your answer, how to pronounce what you're talking about.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I guess we leapt right into terrariums. It is a gardening show, but we're not talking about raising snakes and our pets in terrariums, right?
No.
I guess it's technically the same kind of thing, but we're talking more about plants. So we apologize if we weren't clear about our terrariums. So I think this is a lot of great information, a lot to cover. I know I've posted some pictures in social media, so check them out. And I'll put some more on Facebook tomorrow about all the different things that go into that we're going to talk about shortly that go into a terrarium in addition to the plants. There's a few other steps,
right?
We can go through and looking at the pictures. Mm. But I'm sure everybody's kind of thinking about that one interesting container that they have in their house that they could maybe do something with. I know I am.
Yeah.
I have one of those clear teapots that I keep putting in the Value Village in the donate box and then keep taking it out because I think, what am I going to do with it? So I think that's going to be a fun one. So I thought we would cover all the different steps when we return from, well, we're going to pause for a commercial break here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Do you have an electrical problem or an electrical service that needs attention, but you just do not know who to call? Relax, we have the answer just for you. Fusion Electrical Services is a professional, licensed, and accredited electrical company that provides excellent sales, service, and advice to you, their cherished customer. At Fusion Electrical Services, we provide all electrical services that deal with residential, industrial, and commercial concerns, from a simple home outlet to hot tubs and pools, ceiling fans, control systems, panel changes, bathroom and kitchen wiring services, and a whole lot more. If you do not know who to call for your electrical concern, please call Dave Wilson at 905 905-999-5471. That's 905-999-5471. Call Dave today and have your electrical concerns be gone tomorrow.
Indulge in a taste of heaven at High Tea Restaurant and Tea House by the lake. High Tea Restaurant and Tea House is located at 1295 Wharf Street, Unit 44 in Pickering, Ontario. Choose our amazing food and drink selections from our extensive menu. Enjoy a great time at one of our dinner and music nights. Our menu includes a wide variety of foods, scones, fruits, and tasty desserts. Download our menu at www.hy-tea.com for information on our delicious tasty treats. Please call us at 905-831-7710. That's 905-831-7710. Visit our website at www.hy-tea.com. High Tea Restaurant and Tea House, serving the best of English and Caribbean cuisine. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. If you say so long. And now, back to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everybody. And hope you're enjoying the show where we're talking a bit about indoor gardening and landscaping with our terrariums. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you, Joanne.
So, and please, if Gary read out the numbers and the email as well. So if you do have questions for us, we'd love to answer them. So we definitely, the phone lines are open. Mm-hmm. So give us a call or email us at instudio101@gmail.com and we will answer your questions. So if you've got specific houseplant questions or anything, you know, along with that topic, we'd be happy to answer that.
Or even maybe a terrarium story or some sort of experience or something really cool, like an interesting container that you've used before that you'd like to share that others might enjoy.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So we've talked a bit about the containers. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the plants, which we will probably talk a bit more about the plant options. So I thought we'd cover the assembly. So it's like a recipe almost, isn't it?
It is, yes. It has very specific components.
So it's not. I don't think it's hard,
no.
I think there's definitely steps that you need to do. And I thought I would kind of outline those for you. And so it's starting. So, and basically everything to do with the terrarium is in layers. So your picture, you're layering all your material. So it's not like you're mixing it together. You know, people when they're making, you know, plants or sometimes, you know, they're adding their peat moss or adding their vermiculite and things like that into a pot and planting it in that. This is not what this is.
Not even.
No, we are definitely adding in layers and very thin layers, too.
Right.
So from the bottom, the first thing you're going to put on the bottom of your container, your jar, is gravel, but 1 to 3 inches of gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Not like really coarse gravel either, right? Fairly fine.
Yeah, you want a finer, like a pea gravel type thing. Not too small, like a bonsai gravel, but like the average pea gravel.
Right.
And you can get that in a big bag at your garden center, your local garden center.
Or small bag,
too. Depending on where you go.
Yes. No getting like 3 pieces of river rock from your front garden.
No. Yeah.
So we are talking and we're not talking like limestone screening or anything like that. We're talking gravel. Mm. Once you have that spread on the bottom, you need to add something called horticultural charcoal, about 1/2 inch of it. And so, Matt, that's something more rare of all the things we're going to talk about.
Yeah. That horticultural charcoal, activated charcoal will do the same thing. You usually find it at your local garden center in your orchid section.
Oh, okay.
Because it's also used with another component you're about to mention in an orchid mix.
Okay.
I know at my place we sell it in a medium-sized bag, so unless you're doing a few terrariums. But another thought is an aquarium store.
Oh, really?
Right, as they'll use the activated charcoal to, you know, filter the water. Okay. And that's what it's going to do in the terrarium, too. It's going to deodorize your terrarium, so it's going to suck in any of the organic smells. Mm. But it's also going to filter the bacteria and any toxins in the water or produced as byproducts from any of the plants or anything.
Okay.
Breaking down.
Yeah, so it helps with the little ecosystem.
Right, yeah, it's, yeah.
Okay. You probably could get some really nice decorative rocks at the aquarium store, the pet store as well,
yes.
too. So that might make a neat stop. You can get 2 things for the price of for 1 stop there. So that would be neat. With the big, any place that sells orchids, do you think, like even the big box stores?
Possibly the big box stores, yeah. It depends on the line that they like to carry.
Right,
in.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't need a lot of it, so you just need about 1/2 inch of it. So it is, you might want to share it with friends because you're going to get more, you're going to buy more than what you really need.
Right.
But it is an important thing for the health of the plants to keep that on. Oh, we have a great question from Sue. We'll pause for a second. She's asking if it matters if she uses plastic versus glass for the terrarium. I don't think so. What do you think?
Not really. The 2 things that jump to mind immediately is, obviously the plastic, you're going to want to be able to see through the plastic. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, opaque in some way, you can reduce the light. So if you only have full sun, direct sunlight, that could also help act as kind of like a shade cloth.
Oh, okay.
But also then make sure you're using a quality plastic, Sue, because if you have a cheaper plastic and it leaches anything into the soils, the activated charcoal will only do so much, but then the plants are going to start ingesting all that toxin or residue. So if you've got something that used to hold a solid or a liquid, make sure you're always washing it out 3 separate times with soap and water, letting it dry. And then start from there.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought of, because I think the one thing, cleanliness, sometimes it's easier to get a glass container cleaner than you can a plastic.
Right.
But if it is a really interesting container, then go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely doable. So thank you very much, Sue, for your question.
Great question.
Yeah. So we've covered gravel and horticultural charcoal. Then you can do a layer of sheet moss. So just 1 layer, you can cut it. Usually you can buy a little roll at your nurseries or garden centers. And you can definitely cut that to fit.
Yep.
Right? You don't want it going up the sides or anything like that. You want it to really fit.
Yeah. You want it to be nice and form-fitting, each layer nice and tidy all the way around.
Okay.
Yeah. Because usually, keeping in mind, you're going to see most of these layers as well, depending on your container.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. There's only a bit more forgiveness there you want to, and soil. So moisten and add the soil level. So this is always a tricky part, is to know how much soil to add. So my research said that all of this should only be up to about 25% of your container. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then thinking about too, the plants that you're going to get too, if they're really big and you've got like a 4-inch root ball.
Right.
You're going to have to play with that to get into there, too. So,
okay.
In my experience, I've had to bend that rule slightly. But
okay. So you've added more soil?
Just a sliver.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've cut the roots of the plant.
Yeah. Or that.
Yes.
Because some of them are fairly hardy or have smaller root zones. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I've added more. I would say maybe to 35%.
Okay.
But
yeah, it depends, because you do want the soil. You're right. The most important thing is that the soil covers the roots of the plants, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, it gives, you know, I think visually it gives you an idea, right? Versus filling your container with soil and then regretting it and having to take it out.
Yes.
I think visually, if you have to top it back up again, you know, a little bit and add another 10% to cover the roots, then that's fine. But
that's
just start,
easier.
Yeah, just start with the 25%.
Yeah.
And go from there. So the next thing to add is your plants. So key, and I'll say it, it should be obvious, but things like making sure the plants are healthy. Search them, look at their foliage, look at their roots, mm-hmm. make sure they're healthy. You should loosen the roots a little bit. You know, you don't want to keep them. You want to let them know that they can kind of grow out of that circle or circular pot that they're in.
Exactly.
And even if there's some that are really tight and you can't loosen it, some of them, get, you know, even they're small, they can sometimes get really pot bound.
Very.
You can cut the roots and trim them up a bit and kind of get them, you know, kind of encourages like root pruning.
Yeah, exactly. Roots will activate like when you prune a shrub. Mm. You can cut back a shrub and new growth fattens and thickens. Roots have the same growing points.
Okay.
So you can fatten and thicken your roots.
Excellent. And houseplants are tougher than we think. You know, I think we think they're pretty fragile, but yes. they are pretty tough.
They are very
yes.
tough.
So the chance of you killing it while you're planting is very, very slim.
It is. It is. It's very slim.
Excellent. So once you have the layer of plant and once you've kind of put your plants in, then it's up to you. You can stop there and let the plant, you know, you're going to certainly see the soil and you can let the plants just kind of fill out so that the soil isn't as obvious. You can add sphagnum moss, like some mosses, can't mm-hmm. you? Like just to kind of take, so you're not looking at the soil necessarily.
Nope.
Again, more decorative stones, shells. You know, you can get really creative by adding like a funky little piece of driftwood. Again, yep. It depends on your container and the style of your home, right? Or what you're going for.
Right.
Some people even say little figurines, which makes me think of fairy gardens, which is another little thing, eh?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Fairy gardens, very, very popular still, too.
Yes. Yeah. So what characterizes a fairy garden?
Well, the idea is that you build a little home for the fairy. So you don't actually put a fairy in the fairy garden.
Really?
Right. You build its little environment, its little, you know, a bird bath or a little gazing globe, a little house. And the idea is that it's such a welcoming, lush, colorful garden that the magical fairy will come to live and inhabit your container or your terrarium
Which is great for kids, I think. I think that's a great thing for a little girl or something like that, right?
Exactly.
You know, that kind of sparks the imagination. So the tooth fairy or something, you know what I mean? Along that line. So that's kind of neat. But I know the stores are selling a lot of those little figurines. Right.
And the fairy garden has spawned so many neat little accessories.
Okay.
You can get little garden gnomes, little wheelbarrows. You can make it like a mirror image of your own backyard, little benches, umbrellas. The sky's the limit. And you can then change it for each season.
Yes.
You could turn your terrarium into a Halloween haunted house or something.
Oh, okay. Yes. So if you have more time in your hands and you know what to do with, yeah, exactly. then you can really go crazy with your terrarium. So that's funny. So after we've decorated, that's it. We're kind of done, aren't we?
That's the
assembly part.
That's the assembly part. That's right.
Okay. And so if we don't want to buy all those things separately, what options do we have?
Yeah, and you know what? My garden center, we've mentioned them on the show before. It's a Canadian garden soil specialty company, but they actually have a terrarium kit.
Oh, okay.
So you get this 1 foot by, you know, 8-inch bag, a couple of liters, 5-liter bag kind of idea. But it comes with the gravel and the size and the gravel that you need.
Okay.
It comes with the right amount of sphagnum or peat moss. Decorative peat moss, and it comes with a unique soil mix. So it's something that's got a nice water moisture retention, but also a nice drainage, some nice sand to drain it through.
Yeah.
So you can actually either go succulent or tropical
with
foliage.
Or do they have two different varieties of kits?
No, with that same that same kit. So you can go open or closed terrarium with that one, and it does an average, I'm trying to think of something that everyone can kind of understand. If you imagine,
I can think of a fishing bowl, like a bowl.
That's a good idea.
A fish bowl.
Fish bowl or like a cookie jar, that kind of size.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we didn't spend a lot of time on soil. So if I just have some potting soil left over from my other indoor plants, is that soil okay? Or is there a specific kind of soil?
Be careful with the if just I'm not the buying leftover a kit. Stuff. Yeah, okay. If you're not going to be buying a kit, make sure that it is sterile because you are going to put it in a very moist, enclosed environment.
Okay.
So if there's any diseases or spores or molds or anything that have been come from your other plants or have somehow gotten into that soil, you might encourage those or any pest eggs
right.
to inhabit suddenly your terrarium.
Okay.
But yes, generally your everyday soilless potting mix will work for your terrarium.
Okay.
If you do need something a little more for your succulent side.
Yes. So the cacti or succulents, would they need more sand?
Right. So you can use that, but then add some sand to it.
Okay.
So you can do like a 50-50 or, three parts regular potting mix to okay. one part. I couldn't say it there for a second.
His hands are moving, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing about radio. Yeah. Nobody can see our hands are moving really hard, really fast, right? Just Gary's watching our hands move fast.
At least it doesn't. Gary can see. You can add then one part, the sand. Or you can pick up a specific cactus and succulent soil.
Okay.
And then grow them directly into that. And despite the change in the soil from cactus, a specific cactus, to a regular soilless potting mix, you'd still build the rest of the terrarium in the same
way. Okay, so you still need the activated charcoal.
Right.
You still need the, even though you're not adding a lot of water, you still need drainage, right?
The, you
with
still
the gravel,
need that drainage.
You still need it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really good. That's really important. Okay. So maintenance. So we're saying that they're pretty low maintenance. So is that it? What do we do? Or do we, is it really that low maintenance or what's our next step?
They are really that low maintenance. And the main maintenance thing is the watering.
Okay.
We talk about how low maintenance and really tough these houseplants are.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone kills their houseplants with too much love.
Yeah, I know. Too much.
Just love them too much. They look dry. I should water them. No.
Yes.
So one of my
rules. So we keep watering them. The more sad they look, the more we water them, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And overwatering and underwatering have the same symptoms. So
yep.
It's easily to be fooled. But so when in doubt, don't. Just leave it and
okay.
let them kind of signal that, we really need it when they really wilt. So moisten your soil.
Okay.
I always like to, if I'm using a soilless potting mix, especially in something like a 5 or a 10 liter bag, I like to add a pitcher. Like 2 liters to say 5 liters or 10 liters of the potting mix and then give it a really good mixing.
Okay.
And that'll give your...
So you're adding how much water? You're adding water to the soil? Sorry.
Right. Yes, correct.
Okay.
I'm pouring like a 1 2-liter pitcher
okay.
directly into a 5 or a 10 liter bag of soil.
Okay.
And then I'm going to mix that soil and let that water spread out. And that's going to give you that quote unquote evenly moist
okay.
description. So it's moist, it's damp to the touch, but it's more like a wrung out sponge.
Okay.
So the soil has water, the plants can draw on that water,
okay.
but it's not overly.
Right. So they're not going to be swimming in water.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. You never want to have your terrarium soil or any potting soil. Really, you can grab a handful and squeeze it.
Right.
And watch it come out of the bottom of your hand.
Yeah. Even your outside soil shouldn't be that
even
wet.
Your outside soil, exactly.
Yeah. And I picture not necessarily watering it, even though we have to water it very sparingly, maybe misting instead of like using a watering can?
Right. Yep. So misting is a great way to start that humidity to
okay.
keep the moisture above the soil. And as it heats up, it'll evaporate and just almost a raining cycle
okay.
will occur.
Okay. So if we're closing, so if we would mist it, so plant it, if it's one with a lid, let's say,
mm-hmm.
after we've done with the plants and we've done with any decorative, additives that we want to add, and we close, we would spray it a little bit, the plants, like the foliage and the soil a bit.
Yep.
And then close the lid.
Right.
And then we're good.
And then you should be good to go.
Wow. Yeah.
Another tip with the watering too is if it's your first terrarium mm-hmm. and you put everything in and maybe the inside glass edge of the terrarium
okay.
has some soil bits on, you can add just a tiny little bit of water. So if you have a very small spouted or thin spout on a watering can, you can add just one kind of water around the inside edge and just kind of wash and settle the edges nice and cleanly
oh, okay.
to the side. But you wouldn't want to add more than about 1/2 inch to 1 inch of water back into the
okay.
into that system.
All right. And so after you close the container, the next day is kind of the big day, right?
That's the big day.
That's the big day. So if you've got a bit of condensation, you're fine.
You're safe.
Right. And if it's full of fog and you can't see your plants anymore.
Yes. And it's literally raining in there.
You've overwatered.
There's your signal.
Yeah. Now, can you do, like, if that happened, what can you do? Can you save them? Like, do you have to open the container then?
Right. So if you're doing a sealed one, you want to just tilt the container. You don't have to take the lid completely off.
Okay.
But if you're using something square, if you just prop it open, like a Wardian container,
yes.
If they have a hinge, you can just prop it open for a couple of days.
Okay.
If you've kind of got if you imagine two sheets of paper and you just turn one to the left,
yep.
And you create the corners of the bottom page can be seen. That'll add channels so that the air can move in and out of that space and help circulate and remove some of that extra humidity. And you probably want to leave it on for a day to a few days, depending on the size or the amount of water that you added in. And that's going to be I know how much I kind of put in.
And maybe I really
overdid it.
Yeah, because it depends on the plants, the type of plants, the type of container, your light conditions, you know. So there's a few little variations there you have to consider.
Right. And then if you leave it for a few days and close it, and then do the same test.
Right.
You want just a little bit of condensation, and then you're okay to leave it closed. But if it really kind of rains again, then you're in trouble
then
still.
You're in trouble. Now, what if it's open containers? So, because that's nice that the closed ones can kind of give us the gauge.
Yeah.
So, do any telltale signs for the open containers?
Not really. Usually, if you see things right up against the glass, the molds will start to form in the areas with the least air circulation.
Okay.
But the succulents are usually fairly good. There's a lot of air circulation in the open already, unless you have a really bottle-nosed open container.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like that top of a pop bottle, and there are a lot of them out there that do.
Yeah.
That you can kind of get that moisture issue again going. But, moistening your soil again, just like I described with, making it evenly moist, pouring it in the bag, leaving it like that. But then, succulents are fairly good.
Good that way.
They hold their water.
Really you're looking, like you would with your other house plants, you'd kind of keep an eye on the plants, and if they're looking like they need moisture, then again, just do it with a sprayer.
Right. Yeah, just add some misting.
Okay.
Yep. And when you get to the succulents, if they really need water, you'll notice you can see some coloration in the veins or some of the patterns.
Okay.
They'll start to wrinkle, just the most hairline wrinkles, and that's their vacuoles starting to collapse, their water stores.
Okay.
And that's where you're going to want to water each of them nicely and individually.
Okay.
And I would add an amount of water that's equal to the volume of their root ball.
Okay.
So if you took out a 2.5-inch little plastic pot,
refill
that with water, and then do it slowly.
Okay.
Water it first so the water bonds to the soil. And then the second watering, where you add the second half of that volume, that's the water they're going to really drink away from.
Okay. Mm. That's great. Fertilizing?
Fertilizing, not really.
Yeah.
Most of those peat mixes, peat moss slowly breaks down into food. You're going to have that ecosystem cycle. You're not really going to need it.
Yeah, which is great. So that also contributes. So we're saying they're a little high maintenance to some degree, or just a little bit of work to create, but they really are a kind of planted and forget about it.
You got it.
You know, and I think that's a great thing. And you're not having to worry about fertilizing. I'm personally, with all my other houseplants, I'm not a big fertilizer-er. Do you do that?
Not often, no. Yeah. Unless I have something really special to
Yes.
But no.
Yeah. For sure. What about specialty plants like orchids? Like, a lot of people have a challenge. We could do a whole show on orchids.
That is a whole show.
Yeah, and we have done one in the past, so I'm happy to do another one. But is that a good plant to put in like a covered terrarium, or is it not a good plant?
I've seen that one in semi-covered. I haven't tried it in a fully sealed.
Okay.
I've done it in more of a, or seen it more in a half cover to let a little bit of that air circulation grow. But and those little mini phalaenopsis that you see.
Yes. I have two of them and that I bought last year, and one has rebloomed just now. So I'm so excited. My first time getting an orchid to rebloom. Do you think in that setting, would they be easier to grow? Because there's a lot of people who really struggle with their orchids.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be because you're creating that a bit more humidity that you don't have to think about when they're just sitting on the shelf?
Yes. Yeah, you got it. And they can kind of water themselves and take what they need.
Okay.
They can drink out of those blue air roots. So theoretically, just knowing if you know the plant, it should be perfectly fine.
Okay, well, that's good. So for the orchid growers out there, or the people who really want to have their orchid rebloom and grow for them, this might be something to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's great. And I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting way to try some new plants that you might not try. Because some of them are tiny, and so if you just were putting them a pot on in your house, they probably wouldn't even notice them, right?
Yeah, you'd have like baby tears.
Yeah.
The leaf is like literally millimeters round.
Yeah.
And so where does that really shine? But if you had that as a nice lawn or something.
Yeah.
That kind of idea.
I think that is great. There's so much to do and ways to be creative. And I think, like we said, houseplants are growing in popularity. And if you've never grown one before, or if you want to try something new, then this is a great way to look for an interesting container, maybe something with some history to it that, you know, been passed down, or
exactly.
Something funky that you found at a store. There's some really geometric shaped ones. Mm-hmm. Those light bulbs, I think, are really funky. For sure as well. So I think, I hope this inspires you to look into terrariums and think about what spot you have in your home for one. And they can be a lot of fun. I will post some more information on my Facebook page with downtoearth. I guess you can go to my website at downtoearth.ca, and all my social media links are there. There certainly are lots of ideas online to look at. And are there any?
I'm writing.
Yeah, you're writing. Okay.
I don't want to ambush you.
Yes, go ahead.
As we end, just as we were drawing to the end, I was wondering, because we keep saying, oh, there's a show for this and a show for this topic. I was wondering, have you ever had any of the guests or any of our listeners now write in? Are there any topics that...
Yes.
You know, Joanne maybe hasn't talked about,
mm-hmm.
or something that's kind of really trendy. I know for us, if you're in the States versus Canada,
yes.
There's like a 3-year gap from what sometimes comes up here.
Yes.
So is there something somewhere else in the world, wherever you happen to be listening this evening or morning?
Or if you're in a warmer climate, you might have something that you want to ask us about, and Mr. Horticulturalist can still answer that. I'm sure those botanical names will still roll off his tongue beautifully. So definitely, I always love that feedback. You can email us here at instudio101@gmail.com. Or you can check out my website at downtoearth.ca with the number 2. And all my social media are there. So you can tweet me and Instagram me and all of those things. So I think thinking of new and exciting topics is always, it's half the fun of the show, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, for sure. And I am excited about next week. We are going to have Megan Kane. We've had her on the show once before.
Mm-hmm.
She is the creative vegetable gardener, and she has created a book, A Garden Planner, because all those seed starters, now that Matt and I already talked about last week, we're not real, or I know, I'll speak for myself, I'm not a seed starter. I'm just not.
We'll get you
going. Don't have that the patience, so I'm too impatient of a gardener. But for those of you who want to learn more about growing, starting your garden from seeds and growing vegetables, or want to improve, maybe this would work for me because I just don't do it very well. So that having a planner might be a good thing. So mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to have Megan back and to talk about her new book. And we're going to have, so stay tuned to my social media channels, because we are also going to have a book giveaway as well.
Giveaway.
I know. So thank you everyone for once again joining us on Down the Garden Path. Thank you once again, Matt.
Thank you for having me, as always, Joanne.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun putting these shows together, and it's nice to have a partner. So I want to thank everybody for listening to us here on Reality Radio 101. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.